T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Atlanta sports fan.
Get the latest here first.
It's about us! It's about our strength!
WZGC Atlanta and WZGC HD1.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
Okay, here's the deal.
It's 7 o'clock.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's time for 92.9 The Game Tonight.
For the next hour, tune in or listen on the Odyssey app.
As we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
We're going up tonight.
Turn up, bro. Like I say, just turn up and listen, you know?
Best way to lead the show.
It's 92.9 The Game Tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
92.9 The Game Tonight, live from the Kia Studios. Abe Gordon here for the next 3 hours. And we got Dom Cherosky here hanging out with me. And we are going to be heavy, heavy, heavy on the NFL. And we got a lot planned for you. This is my final show before the NFL draft. So we got to get, all of the segment. Like, there have been a lot of times where I had segments planned, but then we got into caller segments, and the calls kept carrying over. So I kept pushing segments further and further down the line, and if I had to push it to the next day, I would do that. And we kind of got to the point where I'm like, I got like 2 shows this week. I got 5 segments of Falcons discussion we got to get to. So we are going to roll through them. Some I'll be taking calls on, some I won't, because it's going to be a very busy show, like I was talking about. We're also going to bounce around to the NFC South, our divisional opponents, and check in with the Carolina Panthers. Our good friend, old buddy Willie P, is going to join me at 8 o'clock. And at 8:20, Luke Johnson, New Orleans Times Picayune, is going to join me. And just about 20 minutes from now, my good friend, guy I used to produce a morning show for way back when in Tampa Bay, T-Kraz, Tom Krasnicki, hosting there at WDAE, going to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we're going to focus on what they have done this offseason to now set themselves up for this NFL draft. And, of course, a lot of focus remains on the Atlanta Falcons and the plans at number 8 in the NFL draft. And you know, when I say the plans at 8, that's like a loose. It can also be the plan to trade back. So I'm not going to divvy up a variety of that. But you guys understand what I'm saying. The interesting thing is, over the course of, really since we signed Rondale Moore, Darnell Mooney, we traded for Rondale Moore. But really since the addition of those two, I don't think we've taken a single option off of the table from the Atlanta Falcons draft possibility. Obviously, when you pay Kirk Cousins, I thought we took quarterback off the table. Apparently not, for everyone who wants to continually throw Michael Penix at 8. Apparently not. Is receiver off the table? Apparently not. If one falls, people are talking about it. Stick with best player available. Same routine. Let's go. Obviously, defensive line is not off the table because you didn't add anyone there in free agency. And same with the secondary. Cornerback is not off the table. So you're still at the, again, with the exception of quarterback, you've still got the amount of possibilities that you had when you started the offseason. And when you look at that, I mean, every other pick in front of the Falcons, you're kind of like, they're going to do this unless they trade out, right? Like, you got the Bears at one, Washington at two, New England at three. And even New England, like, they're either going to take a quarterback or trade out. Arizona at four, they're either going to take a receiver or trade out. You got five, six, seven. They're either going to take, you know, I guess the Chargers kind of loosely have the option of Brock Bowers or receiver, but I think it's going to be receiver. I think trading Keenan Allen, it kind of solidified that. And the Giants are interesting because they could go quarterback, replace Daniel Jones. They could go receiver as well, seems to be the leading mindset there. Then you got the Falcons, who was like, I don't know, receiver, DB, pass rusher, O-line, heck, maybe even quarterback. And so they have really, I don't know if this is a good thing, maximize their options. I'll be honest, I wish it weren't that way. I wish it was as simple as like, well, we got one hole, we're going to draft this guy. We're going to go. I mean, that's where the other teams are, or some of the other teams, the very clear need, and that's their focus. Unfortunately, not quite the case with the Atlanta Falcons. A lot of places to be addressed, and then, you know, if you mix it up and just go best player available, that would switch some things up too. Anyways, so we got the Braves coming towards first pitch here about 15 minutes from now. We're going to be keeping an eye on that. Max Fried back on the bump for the Atlanta Braves. Excited to see what he can do at home. Again, it's been an up and down start to the season, but he needs to really kick it into gear. I think he's done that a little bit more recently. Obviously, his first two starts were not memorable. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll have you tuned in. Travis d'Arnaud certainly starring right now with five home runs in the past couple of days. They're facing Trevor Rogers. He's a decent arm, but certainly one the Braves have hit before. The NBA. When we get to 9 o'clock, we're going to get to outside the perimeter. That's going to largely be a National Basketball Association discussion about the playoffs. But I'll tell you what, we were watching the game here yesterday, me and Oren, as we got towards the later stages. I was driving home with the game on in my car. The Knicks and 76ers. I mean, what a finish to that game. You stay up, you watch the finish to Lakers and Nuggets. What a finish to that game. Just some crazy, crazy action. I mean, for both teams, just massive collapses. Massive, massive collapses. And it just feels like that's the series. Like, obviously they're returning home. Maybe they'll pick up a game. Maybe they'll pick up two games. It just felt like these were the games that were most winnable on the road. I don't know if they're going to have that opportunity again. When you talk about the Lakers, you're obviously blowing a 19-point lead. I don't know what this rule is about. You could smack a guy on the face, but the ball's left his hand, so you're clean. I'd start hammering everyone. I mean, I would go absolutely batty if they're not going to call that. I don't know what the rule that is. I've never heard of that rule. Somehow it got brought up yesterday while reviewing D'Angelo Russell getting smacked across the face. But, he had already tried the finger roll, so it's not a foul. You're good. I would start ramping that up. And then for the 76ers, it's like, man, okay, so they don't call a foul. Like, what are you doing panicking on the ground? Hold the ball. If you can get a timeout, great. If you can't, like, let it go to a jump ball, play some defense. You can't turn it over right there. My goodness. Just an embarrassing close to that game for Philly. And look, Joel Embiid's got to step up, man. And I'm not talking about his performance on the court. I have no issue with that. He's obviously very clearly limited in what he can do. We can't go to the locker room and have Joel Embiid with his head hanging talking about what a terrible, tragic call. That can't be the scene. And I know later they had already cut on TNT. I know later he did come out with the idea of we're still going to win this series, and he was confident. But you didn't like the visual of head down, kind of blaming, cursing out the refs a little bit on that one. That's just doesn't inspire the sort of confidence. And I'll be honest, like, we're here in Atlanta. We talk about Trae Young not being the leader that we need him to be, want him to be, whatever. You got to say the same thing about Joel Embiid in that moment. And quite frankly, you got to say the same thing. And obviously, the career that he's aligned. But I'm with Bell. You can't have LeBron James out here blaming the refs either. Especially not when he hit a wide open three to can this game. And so that's where you go from there. Now, there's a discussion I've been having with myself that I've had it for a while. It developed from trivia. And I'll explain it, and I'll tell you why it kind of relates to a couple teams in the top 10. I don't think it relates necessarily to the Atlanta Falcons. I do think it relates to a couple teams in the top 10. And the overall premise is, like, some of these GMs feels like they're getting real close to overthinking things. And it's just one of those things, like, what are you doing? And I'll tell you what I mean when I say it relates from trivia night. So let's say we get asked the question at trivia night, right? And we're all kind of leaning one way, and then someone comes in with a rogue idea for a possible answer, and we start to seriously discuss it. I've always been of the mindset that which one can we live with getting wrong? Which one can we live with getting wrong? And I'm trying to think of the trivia question we had the other day. Okay, so the other day the question was something about who was the lead defense attorney for O.J. Simpson, right? Now, initially, the immediate thought is Johnny Cochran, right? If you break it back down and try and figure out, does it end up being Robert Shapiro, right? Like, people are like, well, what part of the case? The very first part of the case when it was Shapiro? Are we talking about who just because Johnny Cochran, did I say Crawford? Johnny Cochran was, handling the cross-examination and this and that. Was he actually the lead attorney? And I'm like, guys, here's where I'm at. If we put Johnny Cochran and get it wrong, I can live with that. Most of the teams in here probably put Johnny Cochran as well. If we put Robert Shapiro and it's Johnny Cochran, we're going to kick ourselves. And that's what I mean. I hope that kind of details what I'm talking about here. Because that's what I'm talking about, some of these GMs, and it feels like you're overthinking things. And I want to start at number 4. If you're the Arizona Cardinals, what can you live with and what can you not live with? If you're taking a receiver, I don't know if I can live with taking Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze and watching Marvin Harrison become that guy. Like, don't overthink it. I am much more in a safe headspace if I draft Marvin Harrison and he's the 5th best receiver in this class and Odunze is number 1, Nabers is number 2, Keon Coleman, whatever you want, fine. We took the guy that we all had agreed was probably the best right now. I can't imagine taking Malik Nabers, leaving Marvin Harrison on that draft board, and then watching him become an all-pro. That's not a decision that I can live with. And so don't overthink it. And I would say the same thing for Tennessee. I saw a mock draft today that had Tennessee taking offensive line, offensive tackle like we all expect, but it wasn't Joe Alt. It's just like, guys, it doesn't have to be this difficult, man. And it's the same thing. You might be able to keep your job if you draft Joe Alt at 7 and he's just passable, right? Now, almost everyone says, like, this guy is the dude. All-pro type of cornerstone of the franchise. Fine. If he's not that, he's not that. But you can't take some other tackle and then watch Joe Alt run off 7 straight all-pros. Don't overthink it. And, look, it's not so cut and dried with the Atlanta Falcons. I don't think there is, like, an obvious, like, Turner versus Latu, don't overthink it guy. Like, I don't think there is a situation where you draft Dallas Turner and be like, a couple years later, like, it was Latu, man. I can't believe we missed. Like, there's no safe bet there. Harrison, Alt, like, come on. Don't overthink it. You can live with getting it wrong if it's Johnny Cochran. Or if it's not Johnny Cochran. You can't the other way. That's all I'm saying. All right, when we come back, going to head down to Tampa Bay, check in with WDAE afternoon host Tom Krasnicki. What's going on with the Buccaneers approaching Thursday's draft? It is Abe Gordon here live from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is 92.9 The Game Tonight.
Yes, top-rated in late-night radio.
Talking all things Atlanta sports with you.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to 92.9 The Game Tonight. Abe Gordon here live from the Kia Studios. Reaching out all across Atlanta and everywhere in the world on the Odyssey app. Thank you for joining me here just a couple of days away from the NFL Draft. And we've really touched on things from the Atlanta Falcons perspective really over the last 3 weeks or a month leading up to this quite heavily. And maybe done a slight disservice looking at what the rest of the NFC South is doing. And so I'm going to make sure I do that tonight. We're going to head out to Carolina in a little bit, New Orleans after that. But we start today with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. My buddy Tom Krasnicki, WDAE host, joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. T-Kraz, I know you just wrapped up your show. What's the energy like in Tampa? I know your pick is obviously towards the back half of that first round, but what's the energy like as we head towards Thursday?
Hey, my man, good to be with you. I think the energy is positive, mostly. I mean, the Bucs are coming off another division title. They won a playoff game. I think they went out in free agency and plugged a few holes. They brought back Jordan Whitehead. They re-signed Mike Evans. They brought back Lavonte David. The guys they needed to bring back, they brought back. They put the franchise tag in Antoine Winfield Jr., and then they signed Randy Gregory, so that maybe lessens the need for an edge rush, although I think Jason Light still has that very high on his list of priorities. They also signed a couple of offensive linemen in free agency, too. But I think the interior of the O-line is where the Buccaneers need the most help.
So we'll get to the 26 overall pick in just a moment. But I do want to also look at what the entirety of the offseason has been for the Buccaneers, and I know you touched on a lot of that. Let me just tell you what it feels like from our perspective here in Atlanta. It doesn't feel like the Bucs got better. It feels like they're trying to run things back, and the hope in Atlanta is that the Falcons have essentially jumped them with the addition of Kirk Cousins. Do you feel it's a fair mindset to look at the Bucs and say they're running things back, they didn't actually get better with Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield and some of the guys you mentioned?
I think the Buccaneers got marginally better. I wouldn't say they took a step back or, you know, with status quo that they made a lateral move in essence, because Jordan Whitehead, I think, makes them better. And when Jordan Whitehead left here after the Super Bowl, there was some tense feelings. And I think Jordan Whitehead comes back at the age of 26, by the way. He's a mature player. I think he's better in pass coverage than he was when he was here the first time around. So I think they're better in the secondary with him. And I think Randy Gregory, look, he's not going to be able to play 50, 55 snaps. But I think in surefire pass rush situations, 25, 30 snaps a game, I think he's going to be able to give them a little bit of a push off the edge. So, and with the Bucks bringing back the guys that they wanted to bring back, not including Devin White, who went to Philadelphia. I don't think they wanted him to come back necessarily. I think the Buccaneers are a little bit better now than they were, you know, a couple months ago.
Obviously, among those guys you wanted to bring back, Baker Mayfield, and kind of once you did that, it felt like you had to bring back and pay Mike Evans as well. Were you surprised the team was eventually able to get a deal with Mike Evans that could see him finish his career in Tampa?
Not surprised at all, because that was Jason Light's first ever draft pick when he came here to Tampa Bay as the Bucs general manager. He's been here for a decade, so he wasn't going to let Mike Evans out the door, and he knew that he had to jump the gun and sign him before he got to the legal tampering period, because I know for a fact there were several teams out there who were interested, and I mentioned on my show the Kansas City Chiefs, I got wind, were very interested in Mike Evans' services. So Jason did the right thing. He brought back a player that can still do it at this age of his career. Now, at some point, he's going to slow down, but I think Mike has two more really good years left in him.
It's Tom Krasnicki of WDAE in Tampa Bay joining us, talking about what the Bucs are thinking ahead of Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and the NFL draft. So you get Baker back, you get Mike Evans back, you get him a good portion of the offense, take some improvements there on the offensive line, but you do also lose something on offense. That is offensive coordinator Dave Canales. What do you expect the impact of him heading to Carolina to be?
I like Dave. I was a big fan of his, and he was great with us in Tampa, and I wish him the best of luck. He's certainly walking into a tough situation with Carolina with a quarterback that I didn't think was worthy of the first overall pick. I had C.J. Stroud certainly number one, and Carolina's going to have to live with that mistake. But I thought the Buccaneers, you know, ran the type of offense that, you know, you're going to see Liam Cohen, their new offensive coordinator, use a lot of examples from. He's going to take a lot of what they did last year and kind of carry it over. I think it's going to be pretty much the same offense that they just ran with Dave Canales. The verbiage might be a little different. So I don't think they're going to lose much in the way of continuity. But look, Dave Canales did a really good job of, you know, resurrecting the career of Geno Smith when he was in Seattle. He certainly had a hand in that. And he certainly deserves a lot of credit for turning Baker Mayfield around. And I wish him the best of luck with Bryce Young. I mean, he's going to have his work cut out. I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done up there in Carolina.
The good news for the Panthers is they do own their own first-round pick next year. So if Bryce doesn't get it done, they'll be right back up top getting Quinn Ewers or Shedeur Sand or someone who can maybe play in this league. Tom Krasnicki, WDAE in Tampa Bay, joining me on the WadeFord.com hotline. You mentioned pass rush. In regards to what you could be looking at 26, what are some of the other options there? And if it is pass rusher, are you looking inside or on the outside?
I think it's on the outside, Abe. I think the Bucs want another guy coming off the edge who could bring pressure to the quarterback. Look, Todd Bowles blitzed at the third highest rate last year in the NFL. He doesn't want to do that all the time, bring five, six guys and leave his secondary out to dry. He wants to be able to put four guys on the field and say, go get the quarterback. He wants to be able to generate pressure from his front four. So I think that's going to be one of the need positions. And I think the two biggest needs the Bucs have in this order, by the way, is interior O-line. I think they're looking for an upgrade at center. And I think that's going to be the focus with their 26th pick. And I think edge rusher is the other position. So I think those are the two positions that Jason Light and Todd Bowles will address early in the draft.
If you do look at edge rusher, and because obviously we've been so focused on that here in Atlanta, what are some of the names that you think are in that realm there in the 26? Are you looking at like the Chop Robinson? Are we hoping Jared Verse somehow falls? Darius Robinson, is there a world in which Latu gets there? What are some of the names being mocked by you guys there in Tampa?
Well, I don't think Leetu Latu will make it to 26. I think the Buccaneers would be thrilled. I think they would rush the card up there because he has the kind of size and explosiveness off the edge that Todd Bowles desires in his edge rushers. I think Chop Robinson's an interesting name, a guy certainly with a lot of speed. I think they would love to have a guy like Jared Verse. I think he should be off the board by 26. But those are some of the names that, you know, a lot of people are connecting to the Buccaneers at this point. With the signing of Randy Gregory, I mean, they may decide to address it in day two. They've got a second-round pick. They also have two third-round picks because they traded Carlton Davis of Detroit. So I think the Buccaneers will be looking for an edge rusher, at least one of them, within their first four picks.
From Tampa Bay, it is Tom Krasnicki, WDAE. I want to ask you about how you see things from afar about the Atlanta Falcons in just a moment. But I do have a question about Todd Bowles. What does the future hold for him if they don't win the NFC South this year?
That's a good question, Abe. I think because he's won it the first 2 years, I think he's got some slack. I think if he doesn't win it next year, I don't necessarily believe his job is in jeopardy. Now, if they were to go 5-12 or something along those lines, double-digit loss season, then I think that might be on the table. But the fact that he's had the job 2 years and he's won two division titles, I think his job is pretty much secure outside of a 2-15 debacle or something along those lines.
All right, so let's turn things up here to Atlanta, Tom. What did you think of the idea to bring aboard Kirk Cousins? Let's start there. And then what do you also make out as what the Falcons should do at number 8 overall in Thursday night's first round?
Well, look, I think Atlanta, to me, and I've said this many times on the show, Atlanta reminds me of the Buccaneers from 2019. Very good team. All they needed was a quarterback to bring it all together. And the Buccaneers knew at the time that Jameis Winston, coming off a 30-30 season, 30-plus touchdowns, also 30 interceptions.
Not as impressive as 30-30 in baseball, right?
No, yeah. It's certainly a different connotation in the NFL, and it's not a good one. So they felt like, look, we've got the pieces in place. We just need a quarterback. They plugged in Tom Brady, and the rest was history. And I look at the Atlanta Falcons much the same way. I like their defense. I like their offensive line. The skill position talent is there. They just needed a quarterback to kind of bring it all together. And I think Kirk Cousins was a wise move. And I'm a big fan of Raheem Morris, by the way. Having him here 15 years ago when he was a head coach the first time, obviously the people in Atlanta, very familiar with him as an offensive and defensive assistant. So I think 15 years after the fact, you're talking about an older, wiser Raheem Morris. And now he's got a quarterback. And I thought the addition of Darnell Mooney was a very good one because I thought the Falcons could have used some speed on offense with the rest of their weapons. And if they just plug in an edge rusher at number 8, Dallas Turner's name keeps coming up over and over again. If the Falcons are able to get him, I think they're a playoff team in 2024.
Let's continue on this Dallas Turner train, because I know you mentioned Latu a little while ago as well, and there seems to be some discussion there. Do you view Turner as the top pass rusher in this year's class?
I do, because I've watched Alabama football, as you have, Abe, really the last few years, and he's a complete player. He's got size, athleticism, the instincts. He's got the moves off the edge. I mean, he can use some work with his hands and everything else, but the raw talent is there. That's a guy that you draft, and really from day one, he's starting for you and he's making an impact. And I think it makes all the sense in the world. Atlanta's had trouble rushing the passer the last 2 years. That is their number one priority. And at pick number 8, they should be able to get the best one out there.
All right, final question here. Tom Krasnicki joining me out of WDAE in Tampa Bay. Listen, you're on here radio in Atlanta. You don't have to pander to the Bucs fans. right now, do you think the Atlanta Falcons have jumped Tampa Bay as the favorite in the NFC South, regardless of what we see Thursday night?
Listen, you're an old-style wrestling fan, so you'll understand this reference, and I think the people in Atlanta will as well. To quote the great Ric Flair, to be the man, you've got to beat the man. And the Buccaneers have been there, won the last three division titles. They brought all the important pieces back. They added a couple more pieces, and they will add to more in the draft. I think Jason Light's one of the best general managers in the game. Look, I think the Bucs and the Falcons are on equal footing. I think it's 1 and 1A at this point. And depending upon what happens this weekend, that's going to give an edge to one of those two. So the team that has the better draft this weekend, Abe, that's the team that takes the lead. But right now, I think the Bucs and the Falcons are on even footing.
Well, there you have it. Tom Krasnicki, WDAE in Tampa. My friend, always appreciate you making some time for me here. Always a pleasure chatting with you. I'm sure we'll do it again as the season gets going. But enjoy the draft this week and weekend.
You do as well, Abe. Always my pleasure. Good to see you, bud.
There you go. My guy T. Kras getting it done. Long, long time ago, former I produced – shows for T-Kraz down there in Tampa Bay. I think he doesn't believe what he just said, by the way. I think realistically he doesn't want the headline of Tampa radio host says Falcons have passed Buccaneers as NFC South favorite. And that's fair for him to not want to deal with that. I wasn't going to tweet it out, but, you know, someone might have heard it and be like, here, look, see. I also do think it's an interesting commentary that whoever has the better draft, whoever wins this draft, whoever gets more out of the players this year, be it the Bucs or Falcons, is the team to beat. Obviously, the Falcons in better position based on having higher picks. But he's right. Jason Light has been an outstanding GM, done what they've needed to do across multiple tenures of quarterback and head coach there. So, interesting stuff for T-Kraz. In the next hour, we're going to do the exact same thing, but in Carolina and New Orleans. What has happened for the Saints and Panthers this offseason, and what are they looking for in the NFL draft? We're going to do that with Willie P. and Luke Johnson in the next hour. But before we do that, one of the Falcons discussions I've been holding on to, there is a nightmare scenario for many Falcons fans in the first round of the NFL draft. And no, I'm not talking about Michael Penix, although that also is a nightmare scenario. But what is the plan if said nightmare scenario plays out? That is what's coming next. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here live from the Kia Studios on a Tuesday evening on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
This place out every night.
Talking Atlanta sports at night. This is 92.9 The Game tonight.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here, live from the Kia Studios. Max Fried doing his thing, working his way through the lineup a couple times. We're going to keep an eye on the Atlanta Braves. Still scoreless, but they've been threatening. They've got a couple hits off Trevor Rogers already. So we'll see if they can send one or two of these around the bases. We'll keep an eye on the Atlanta Braves as we continue through the show. But we are just 2 days away from the NFL draft. And so there is still a lot of commentary to be had. And later in the show, we're going to bring on a couple of guests bouncing around the NFC South. But I've also got a discussion about the bottom line for this year's NFL draft. So we'll talk about that in the final hour here. Again, I'm with you until 10 o'clock tonight. It is Abe Gordon. You can follow me on Twitter, at Abe Gordon, if you want to comment or share some thoughts. You can also holler on the phones, 404-726-0929. We may try and take a couple calls on this next topic. And that is kind of what I view as a nightmare scenario for the Atlanta, or for what many Falcons fans may view as a nightmare scenario. Because we've talked a lot about, like, what are, like, the dream scenarios. And that the dream scenarios are probably, like, J.J. McCarthy's available, Roma Dunze is available, and you've got massive trade value to get out of eight, trade back, do what you want to do. But what if things actually go the other way ahead of you? And the thing to me, it's not even like the biggest nightmare, because some people don't want Dallas Turner anyways, or some people don't want pass rush, they want corner, or some people are comfortable taking receiver. It is what it is. But what's the scenario that you might not have considered for the Atlanta Falcons with the eighth overall pick? And to me, the scenario that I do feel is possible, but we maybe haven't paid enough attention to, is what happens if Dallas Turner gets taken? What happens if either someone in the top seven says, you know what, I don't mind going pass rush here? Or on the flip side, what if there is someone right behind the Atlanta Falcons that says, well, I know they want to take Dallas Turner. I actually kind of want Dallas Turner. And so let's jump. Let's go get Dallas Turner. You know, if the Bears want Dallas Turner with the 9th overall pick, what's to stop them from trading with Tennessee? Tennessee knows that Atlanta's not taking Joe Alt. Tennessee could probably sit there and get Joe Alt at 9. Now, there's obviously the risk of, all right, Joe Alt's available at 8. Does someone else want Joe Alt with the Falcons trade? There's all sorts of discussions, right? There's all sorts of stuff. But what happens if Dallas Turner actually gets taken before us? Because I know a lot of you just said, enough with playing games. We don't need to trade back and hope he's still there. Just take Dallas Turner at 8. And by the way, if your guy is not Dallas Turner, if your guy is Latu, it's the same thing. What happens if Latu gets taken? If your guy is Dallas Turner, are you comfortable with Latu or Verse at 8? Or does that change things? If your guy's Latu, are you comfortable with Turner at 8? Or does that change things? It's probably more likely, if you ask me, that Dallas Turner gets taken because there's a team behind Atlanta that trades up. That says, we know this is where the Falcons are going. We want them. I don't think just naturally there's a team in front of the Falcons that are going to take them. But you never know. The Chargers, do they look at the potential of, well, look, we're not going to be paying Joey Bosa, so we need the next guy. And so we're right here at 6. Let's go ahead and do it. I don't think it's likely the Giants do it. They just traded for Brian Burns. They seem set. If the Cardinals trade out, maybe the Cardinals and Giants swing a deal, right? Giants want that 4th quarterback, replace Daniel Jones. They swing up to 4. Cardinals just a little bit deeper in the draft. Yeah, they're still a good receiver if they want it, but maybe they go Turner. So if Dallas Turner's not available at 8, what is the plan for you? Are you comfortable with what you deem to be the second best pass rusher? Are you still just like, just go ahead and take the pass rush no matter what? Or do you have to open things up a little bit? 404-726-0929. I got a couple of options that you might have to kind of figure out in detail in your own brain to see where your comfort level is. But before we do that, let's go ahead and kick things off on the phones. Jay is in Atlanta. Jay, let me start here. Is Dallas Turner the guy you view as the pick you want at 8?
Yeah.
Okay, so
to be honest.
In this world, let's say he's gone. Where are you reverting to? Like, what's your next step? Jay.
Him.
Who'd you say? Sorry, your phone cracked out a bit there. What'd you say?
The guy you mentioned a few moments ago, Latu, I believe his name is.
Yeah, Latu from the Pac-12, sure.
Yeah, him. Either or, but I'm honestly, man, I'm scared for this draft that the Falcons is going to be the Falcons, and they're not going to get the obvious pick, but they're going to get something that we necessarily don't need and just, you know, mess it up. And that's a quarterback. I'm scared they're going to get a quarterback too early that we don't need just yet. But we need defense. And I'm for all of these defensive picks.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. I'll say this. I really don't think this team is going quarterback at 8. Like, you could talk about, well, J.J. McCarthy might fall, or you can tie Michael Penix as much as you want at 8. I really just don't think that's the plan, and I just have a tough time believing that. I think there are a lot of options at 8. And, look, you could sell me on the fact that they would take a receiver. If Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers finds themselves at 8, I could get behind taking one of those guys, not a quarterback. I just think you can at least make the argument that someone's helping a team now as a receiver. You can't do that with a quarterback. And I know, and I'd be open to it later in the draft. Even as early as the 2nd round, if you really, but someone would have to fall. I'm not jumping in line in the 2nd round. All right, so again, if it's not Dallas Turner, Latu, whoever you view as the pick, the guy you want at number 8, what happens if they somehow do get taken? There's a couple things. You could just default to the next best pass rusher. If Dallas Turner's your guy, all right, fine. We're just going to take lot 2 and 8, and we ride on. Do you just take the best defensive player available there? Let's say Dallas Turner was your best player available. Best defensive player. But let's say you had Latu a little further down, and maybe Quinyon Mitchell's ahead of him. Do you just take the best defensive player, whether it be corner, whether it be pass rusher? Do you take the player that you didn't expect to fall? Wide receiver. Do you take the player you did not expect to be there? And then the other option is, do you trade back? And I would be trading back no matter what. In every scenario that I build, and Dom, you can jump in here. Is there a scenario that you can build with a combination of 7 picks in front of you that you don't have someone willing to trade up? Like, there's not one.
Yeah, no.
You want to, even if the premise is all 4 quarterbacks and all 3 receivers are gone, someone will trade up for Joe Alt.
There will be callers. There will be people who are interested to jump up for someone if you're the Falcons. I've flip-flopped on this. I'm becoming more open to the side of trading back just because I think the
again, it's all about how far you're trading back and specifically what you have on your board. Like, how big is the difference between Dallas Turner and Latu and Quinyon Mitchell? Like, how big of a drop do you view? If there's a massive drop between what you view as Dallas Turner's likelihood at the next level and Latu and Mitchell's, then don't risk it. But if you view them as a relatively close circle, again, we're not trading back to 19. Like, that is something I'm not considering. But you look at where Denver is, you look at where Minnesota is, you're still in the top 15. You're still going to get someone there. I'm not going to go throw out 20 picks to trade back. And if you do, you better get an absolute haul. And that's the other interesting aspect of this is, what can you actually get if you trade with Minnesota? It seems increasingly unlikely that you're getting pick 11 and pick 23. We say that now. But if J.J. McCarthy falls, you just never know. You start a bidding war. You say, all right, Minnesota, Denver's given us this. If you want it, here's your price. Same thing for the receivers. You start looking around. Who are the teams that want receiver? Again, Denver, potentially, if they're not going quarterback, traded Jerry Jeudy. They don't have much. They got Zach Wilson. Help him out. And so there's going to be pieces. There's going to be teams that are interested. I do think a quarterback probably maximizes your trade value if it's QB4. If it's Michael Penix and you're like, all right, someone – Vikings, do you want?
Yeah.
Do you want Penix? Do you want to trade up for Penix?
Yeah, no one's jumping for that.
Well, at that point, if it's QB5, they also might just take the risk that they'll stay at 11, yeah, and he's there at 11.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a trade this morning that had the Vikings trade up to 3 with the Patriots, and the Patriots got 11 and 23. And then you go through the draft, and the Patriots at 11 are sitting there, and McCarthy's there. And so they pretty much just get what they probably are comfortable with anyways. And so there's a lot of ways this could play out. I just think no matter how you slice it up, no matter what combination of 7 picks happens in front of you, you're going to have value to trade. You're going to have someone that wants the potential of what you have. Either a quarterback falls, a receiver falls, or Joe Alt falls. Like, there's no world in which all of that is taken up. Because there's 8 players and 7 picks. Right? Assuming QB4, receiver 3, and 1 offensive tackle. There's 8 players in that group and 7 picks. And so someone is going to be available for you to draw a team in. Or just take that guy at 8. And for me, that guy would have to be the receiver. Like, I can't take Joe Alt or one of the 4 quarterbacks. Not me, but we'll see what Terry Fontenot ends up doing on Thursday, because we are creeping closer to draft night. And we were talking about it before the show. Like, Atlanta at 8, and then the Chicago Bears, the variety of places they could go at 9, not at 1, but at 9, those are the two teams that just have the biggest variety of where they could go. It's the toughest to nail down the options. Again, we look at Tennessee, we're like, they're going offensive tackle. Fine, lock it up. We look at the Chargers and we say either tight end or receiver, lock it up. Obviously, we know about the first three. Arizona's going receiver. The Giants, you know, a little bit, but probably receiver. Like, you can dial it in pretty easily with all of the picks ahead of you. You get to 8, the Falcons, and 9, the Bears, and they could go just a variety of ways. So it really, really gets interesting to see how they play, who's available, what holes they fill, that sort of thing. All right, 1 hour down here, 92.9 The Game tonight. When we come back, we are going to continue our tour around the NFC South ahead of Thursday's first round. We're going to talk to Will Pelagic. Willie P., our old buddy there in Charlotte, covers, among other things, the Carolina Panthers. Voice of Charlotte FC as well. What is Carolina thinking? What's their offseason been like? And they're just sitting out on Thursday night. That's not good. For a team that needs a lot of help, that's not good. So we'll talk about that with Willie P. on the other side here in about 5 minutes. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.